hears as I speak to you from the word of the Lord this morning to the best of my ability. I hope that God will open your understanding now. The Bible tells us that as they went on their way to Emmaus, a little road, they were walking along a little road after the resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible said as they went on their way to Emmaus, that all of a sudden the Lord Jesus appeared to them. I want you to notice this. Said he appeared to them in another form. I believe it was Brother Branham one time that said God changes his mask. Satan changes his mask too. But the Bible said that the Lord Jesus appeared to them in another form. They didn't recognize him. Perhaps if he had come to them in the same form, they would have recognized him. But when he appeared to Abraham as Elohim, he appeared in a different form. And all down through the years, God has, as Brother Branham used the term, changed his mask, appeared in different forms. Now in the days of Israel, God appeared to Israel in the form of Moses. Is that right? Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. But the Bible says, Moses, I've made you God unto Aaron, and he'll be your mouthpiece. Is that right? God changes his form. Now, when the Lord Jesus was walking with them over to this place where they were headed down the road of Emmaus, the Bible said after that he went in with them, sat down and broke bread, after that he ate with them, they still didn't recognize him. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just went out of their midst, and they knew then that it was a supernatural thing that had been with them. All of a sudden, he just disappeared, went away. And then one said to another, said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way? You can always tell when God comes, because if you are a real, true child of God, your heart on the inside will literally burn. You'll hunger and thirst so that what's being said or what you hear will just literally burn within you, to stimulate you in such a way that you just want to keep on keeping on listening to that voice. I want to say this again in finding a place to start here. We have the minds of Christ. The Bible said to let this mind be in you. Another writer said we have it. Then one writer said, stir up the pure minds that are within you. Stir up your mind. You've got to stir it up. You've got the pure mind of Jesus Christ, but you've got to stir it up. If you don't stir it up, then it won't say anything. But if you stir up your pure mind, then it will say something. You might have to fast a little. You might have to pray a little bit. You might have to call on the name of Jesus. You might have to give a little bit. Swear to your own hurt a little bit. Talk about the word a little bit, but whatever, you could stir up the mind of Jesus, and when you do, it'll start talking. A lot of times, the brethren will come around, and they'll start talking with me, and maybe I'm really, you know, up here in the natural, the mind of necessity, I'm busy trying to keep up the natural side to go along with the spiritual as much as is required. They'll come and talk, and all of a sudden, it'll switch over. Just like you switch channels on a television, a radio. It switch over, and then it hit a different frequency, a higher level than man's living. And all of a sudden, it begins to talk on the inside, just like you turned the radio on. The hippies sometimes use the terms that he turns me on, or they turn me on. And what they mean by that is that they're seeking lust and the frolics of the world. And anybody that can stir their wild passions up or disturb their five senses to a point of excitement, it turns them on, as they say. Otherwise, they feel drab and cast down and so forth. That's why they take dope. They say that turns them on. And it really does. It tunes them in to the bottomless pits of hell and all of the freaks and devils and evils that come out of the darkness of night. But we've got a new way of being turned on, and that's only a type of it out there. When the Spirit of God comes, or the Word of God comes from the minister, it turns us on and tunes us into heaven. And from the heavenly station, like the writer said one time, tune into the heavenly radio station. Get a little music in the air. Turn your radio on. And so then when we turn ours on, then we hear from the heavenly angels, from the world of light and joy and excitement. It's a heavenly excitement, not to the outer man of wild passions and excitement, but to the inner man of glory and joy and heavenly excitement. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, that when I come up here and I speak to you, I speak to you as a man, because I'm a man, just like you're a man. I come up here and I speak to you as a man. When the Lord Jesus walked this earth, when he spoke to his people, he spoke to them as a man. When Paul walked the earth, he spoke to the people, he spoke to them as a man. Moses, Elijah, the Bible said Elias, a man of like passion, same problems, same human senses. He spoke as a man. But now, when God come to life on the inside of Paul, or when the Spirit of God was stirred on the inside of Christ, it was a different thing altogether. Because that wasn't a man, that was God. When there was a miracle worked, when a blind eye was opened, when a deaf ear was unstopped, when somebody got up out of a wheelchair, or the dead was raised, that wasn't a man, that was God. That was God. Are you listening? That was God. When Jesus would work a miracle and they'd look at him in great admiration, Jesus would say, "It's not me that doeth the work, but it's my Father within me that doeth the work." He knew that he was a temple. He was a man. The Bible called him the man, Christ Jesus. Now, let's get acquainted with something just before we go any further here. A man. He was a man. Paul was a man. All of those great prophets, apostles, they were men. Is that right? But God lived on the inside of the man. This morning, all of us that know God and understand God know that we are men and we are women. And when you say man, that takes care of the woman, because she is made of the man. When you say mankind, it means woman, because she's taken from the man and she's called woman. So then, we all know that God dwells in man. Is that right? Man is a temple that's made for the Spirit of life to dwell in. All right, now, in knowing that we are a man, knowing that Jesus was a man, that Paul was a man, then this makes us feel a little better, Brother Al, when we ask God to use us. Because we know that God uses men. Is that right? God uses men. He said, "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaidens in that day, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." See, God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. Paul said he is the spirit of holiness. We serve God the Spirit with our spirit, that is, by completely surrendering our spirit, the inner man, to God the eternal spirit, then we serve God the Holy Spirit. And our spirit and the Holy Spirit become one spirit. Just like Kool-Aid stirred up in the water, they all become one. You can't tell one from another. Demons do the same thing. Satan gets into his people, their spirit intermingles with his spirit, and they become one. By doing this, the individual automatically becomes the image of Satan or the image of God. Are you listening now? The image of Satan are the image of God. And you say, how could that be? The very same way that a man and a woman becomes one. The woman who has the weaker spirit automatically surrenders her spirit to the male spirit. If she doesn't surrender her spirit, she has got a devil. And she's a personified devil. Because God made her spirit weak, that the male spirit might get control of her spirit, and that her spirit might become one with the male spirit, and that it might be one nature, that's the male nature, one mind, which is the male mind, and that this nature might inhabit her body. Is she supposed to surrender, conform every day of her life? Her ambition is to be to surrender, to conform to the thoughts of her husband and the desires of her husband. Now, if she thinks her husband is conforming to the wrong thing, inasmuch as he is supposed to do the same thing to the Spirit of God, in that the woman and the man is a type of God in the church, and she thinks he's doing the wrong thing, then she should reason with him and say, now, I want to conform to you, but now let's go with the Bible, because I feel like you're in error. But I'm not going to rebuke you. I'm not going to come against you because you're my husband. You're my head. What really takes place is the spirit of the male takes over the spirit of the woman. If the spirit of the male can't take over the spirit of the woman, she is not your wife. She is a personified devil. If her spirit will not submit to you, you say, what is a wife, Brother Pike? A wife is something that the eternal spirit has joined together. And God, being a spirit, takes your spirit and the male spirit, and through his spirit makes it all one spirit. Now, a lot of folks would complain, you know, and they would say, well, my husband is not a Christian. And they say, and I'm not a Christian. Well, if that be so, you can forget what I said, because the Bible said God's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. I'm just talking to the living. He's the God of the living. The Bible said all live to God. So that puts you in a bad fix, but nevertheless, I'm speaking to the living. Say, well, what if my husband is a sinner? The Bible teaches that you are to conform to his spirit according to the Bible. What part of the Bible that he fulfills as being the creation of God or ordained as your male head, you're supposed to conform to it. Wherever he crosses the word, you don't conform to it. You just conform to that part. Now, but if the man will follow God, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, what if my husband's a Christian and he don't do what I think he ought to do? Well, you need to get born again. Probably you're backslid, because your husband's probably doing right and you can't see it. If he's a Christian, he couldn't do anything but right. Now, if he's a Christian, you're not supposed to evaluate him and say, well, here I am, I'm the lady, I'm the wife, I'm going to see if he's doing right. If he's doing right, I'm going to conform to him. What right have I got to take Jesus Christ and put him in a pair of balances and decide whether or not he's doing right? It's up to him to decide whether or not you're doing right, not you decide whether he does right or not. God called him to be the head. Most likely you're wrong to start with. If you evaluate him, you are wrong. So you don't do that. You follow me? When God's spirit joins another spirit to your spirit, speaking to the ladies, or to the man, vice versa, then you become one. The woman and the children are members, and they have to conform to the male. Because the reason for that, it's because the woman is taken out of the man. She is part of the man. You understand? He is the head, but she is a rib that's taken out of his side. Therefore, she has to conform to the man. Conform to the man. Now, he is the soul. I said the other day, we was talking about the soul. The woman don't have a soul. Now, the woman has a soul. I didn't say the woman didn't have a soul. The woman does have a soul. Animals have souls. Dogs have souls. The Bible said so. Now, but I'm speaking of a living soul. The Bible said God made Adam a living soul. Now you say, but Brother Pike, everybody lives. They live on temporal basis. To God, they're not living, they're dead. Because the day that Adam ate thereof, he died, and all of his descendants are dead in the sight of God in trespasses and sin. Only the one that comes through the bloodline has got a living soul. You follow me? So then the male being a type of Jesus, God made him a living soul, and the woman's life is within the man. You say, prove it. All right, according to the Revelation, the Bible said when Jesus Christ, our life appears. Is that right? When our life appears, the man is the life of the woman. He works for her. He feeds her. He takes care of her. And woe be unto these men that are too lazy to work, that causes their husbands, their wives to have to make the living. Something's wrong with him. You really got a perversion there. But the male is the one that makes the living. So he's the life of the woman. Are you listening now? All right, now, as we go along, we'll get into some things if you'll listen. The male, the nature, the spirit of that human body takes over the woman. Now, you know what happens when that comes to pass? The very blood that runs through that woman is the same blood that runs through that male. And she has become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Because it's the spirit of life that creates the blood, and it's the blood that creates the bones, and from the bones of the marrow comes the flesh, the sinew. So through the process of this, she's literally become one flesh with him. When God took Eve out of Adam, it separated the feminine part from the masculine part. We brought that out the other night, remember? But through the new birth, the feminine part goes back into the masculine part. And the man is not without the woman in the Lord, nor the woman without the man. Is that right? Because woman came from man, then she is a part of man. And as long as they're separated, then it is a sin. That is, speaking of God and the church. The body without the spirit, it's sinful. Sinful flesh it's called. Till it's changed to the new body in the image which it was made in the garden. Remember this now. We was made in the image of God in the garden. Is that right? Adam, the first man Adam. But he lost his identity. He lost his image. He was taken away. Is that right? He lost his identity. He lost his identity in the garden. Today, all living human beings that have never been born again are nothing more than beasts. They're beasts. Now, you may argue with science about it, but it's a true fact that they are beasts. Everyone that is not born again is a beast. But when you are born again, then you take on the same identity that Adam had in the garden. You said, how could that be? Because Adam had an identity in the garden, an image, a countenance, a life, that was caused by the overshadowing of the presence or the Shekinah glory of God. When Adam stepped out of that Shekinah glory, the heavenly image, which Peter refers to as the body of Christ, because Adam was called the Son of God, the body of Christ, the tabernacle eternal in the spirit, in the heavens, not made with hands, that went away. And God preserved it in the heavens until the second man, Adam, could come, which would be the Son of God, and restore all things. For the Bible said, we know when Messiah cometh, he restoreth all things. That is, he gives us the right back to the world, the right back to the garden, the right back to the health, the right back to eternal life, the right back to our heavenly image. So when Jesus came, he came in the same form and shape that you were in. Is that right? The Jesus came as a man, just like the beast came, Jesus came. You follow me? The image of God was gone. From the time that the Shekinah glory of God departed, the image was gone, and with the image, the Son of God was gone.
Now, we're not dealing with the Son of God. We're dealing with Adam. Adam, the one that fell from grace. Is that right? So then when Jesus came, it was Adam again, but this time he was called the second man, Adam, because he was again in the presence of God. All of the blood, every bit of the blood from Adam, all the way down, was contaminated. Because the Bible said God has made man of one blood. Is that right? Just one blood. That means that every human being, it doesn't matter what race, creed, or color, every human being has got the same blood lineage, the same stream of blood, and in every human being, the spirit of Satan is inside of that blood. Is that right? Why? Because he got into Adam in the garden. You follow me? He got into Adam. When he got into Adam, the nature changes the image. You understand what I'm saying? The nature, the spirit, Satan, a spirit, a nature, changes the image. As long as Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah glory, he bore the image of the heavenly. The Bible said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. The image of the earthly is nothing more than a beast, and you're made in the image of the earthly right now. Because you lost your identity with God in the garden. That's why that men resemble beasts. You look at a man long enough and he'll resemble a beast. Now, it might be a monkey, it might be a baboon, it might be a lion, it might be a tiger, but the way that you depict his nature, looking at him, is that you depict his spirit. When you get a hold of his spirit, whatever kind of spirit he's got, that's what makes him that type beast. It just shows in his countenance. Now, I'm not speaking about children of God. They've got the nature of Jesus Christ. I listen now. When the nature got into Adam, then it changed the image because it worked in the bloodstream like the man's spirit works in the woman's bloodstream. You ever notice when a child's born into the world, if that woman is stronger spirited than that man, look out. That's right, instead of having a reproduction of the man, which is supposed to be God reproducing himself through part of his own body, that he's separating the feminine part for that purpose, for multiplying. They'll be like that woman. Their spirit will be exactly like that woman, and all of them young'uns will conform to that woman. That's right, because she's strong-spirited. Now, when the spirit got into Adam, then his image changed. It changed to the beastly image, and he began to bear the image of the earthy, Paul said. For of the earth, all is as the earthy. But the tabernacle, Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another tabernacle, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. He said, we don't desire to be unclothed, but we desire to be clothed upon with our tabernacle from heaven. Is that right? When God came, he put Adam and Eve on clothes. That's what he did. The Bible said the man over in the garden was clothed in his right mind. That's where we're clothed, is the inward man. So then the identity was lost. The image was lost. And even Jesus, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, when Jesus Christ came, he was the express image of God. Exactly right. I agree, he was. But the express image of God was that which was within the veil. He was the express image of God. He was the express shape of God. You say, what do you mean express image? The given image of God. The exact likeness. The manifested God. That's what it was. It was God expressed. God manifested. He was the express image of God. That's right. But it was the Christ on the inside. Healing. Working miracles. Forgiving sins. Telling people the mysteries of the things that they longed to see from the foundation of the world. Understand. Wise men have never known him. But here, look at this part of it. The outer Jesus, not the inner Christ, but the outer Jesus, which was the veil, was numbered with the transgressor in his death. He that knew no sin was made sin. He was likened to the brazen serpent, a sinner. He was likened unto sin, and God smote him as a sinner to take away the sins of Adam. That sin come by one man, Adam. So then life could come by one man, Jesus Christ. You follow me? The Christ on the inside was the express image of godliness. It was the express image. But the outer part, which was Jesus, differentiating between the Lord and Christ, said the temple was rent in twain. The Bible said he made himself both twain, both the Lord and Christ. Temple rent in twain, separating the Lord from the Christ now. Jesus from the Christ. God the Spirit smote Jesus, the Lord part, at Calvary to release the inner spiritual Christ. Is that right? Because it was the Christ that was within his image. Somebody would say now, Brother Pike, Jesus himself was God's very shape in the earth. All right, if that's true, then why did Jesus tell them on one occasion? They said something about God. He said, you've never seen God at any time. He said, you've never seen God's shape. Is that right? That's what the Bible said. It uses the word shape. It said, you've never seen God's shape. And there he stood before him. That proves that God is a spirit. Though he was personified in Christ, the outer man was made according to the beast. That is, he was made according to Adam's lineage, a near kinsman like Ruth was to redeem us. Made the same way that we're made. He was called the man Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? They called him the Son of Man. He took on the nature, not of angels, that's Bible, but he took on the nature of Adam himself. Is that right? He came down in the world, took on the nature of Adam, the same as you and I, and took that sinful nature, Satan the spirit, in the bloodstream, causing the image to conform to the spirit, the nature, which whoever the daddy is, that's what it is. That's where the seed of the serpent comes in that they fuss about and they just don't understand it. That's why Jesus called them a generation of vipers, because Satan was their daddy, their father. You follow me? Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, he's a liar. Said it all started from the beginning. Where's the beginning? The garden. For in the beginning. And the word Genesis means beginning. All right, now, when the image was lost, Jesus came in the same image. But he came in the nature of Adam to do away with the fallen image and take the punishment that he might bring back the original image. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, what good is all this? My brother and sister, the good of it is the redemption of the body. That's what good it is to you. You're not going to really enjoy your heavenly treasures till you get the redemption of the body. Jesus came to bring the redemption of the body. That's why Paul said, until we with the redemption of our body, that is, get our identity back that we had in the garden. Now remember, Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah. You ladies out there, if you had your identity back, you would be so beautiful that the flowers would have to hang their heads in shame. You think you're pretty now? You look like grandma's old rug. It's been thrown out the back door. But I'll tell you what. The Bible said God beautifies the meek with salvation. You let the Holy Ghost get in your life and you start living for God and surrendering your life, and he'll make you more beautiful than the lilies. Solomon said when he saw this thing in Revelation, he said, why, even the lilies wasn't arrayed like one of these. So beautiful. So lovely. You don't know what you look like, but you just wait till one day. When he appears, we know that we'll be like him. You men that think you're so handsome. I'll tell you what, you just wait one day till God comes. Just wait. And then you see your real image. That's right. If you could see the difference between your heavenly appearance and this appearance down here that you've got, some of you men, you'd think you've been to a horror show and been looking at Frankenstein. That's how much difference is. You say, Brother Pike, you're exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. The Bible said that one Son of God will outshine the noonday sun. That even the noonday sun, in its fair brilliance, will have to hang its head in shame. It can't shine no more. Now, you ever notice how the movie stars seem to be so much prettier than the other women? You ever notice that? Of course, it's gotten to be that way just about everywhere now, but used to. The women would stay at the wash pots and they wash and scrub, and the movie stars, they'd pancake themselves up, you know, and put false eyelashes on, false everything on, and it made them look like something out of heaven, you know. But even that would look like a freak compared to what I'm speaking of. That's a type. That's a type, comparatively speaking. But Adam lost that identity. He lost it. Now, I tell you this again. He didn't have eternal life. Adam did not. I want you to really get a hold of this. People teach that Adam had eternal life in the garden, and I constantly say this over and over. Adam did not have eternal life in the garden. If he'd had eternal life, he could never have died, because eternal life means to never die. He was in the presence of eternal life. He was in the presence of the Shekinah glory. And as long as he stayed in the presence of the Shekinah glory, he remained as an eternal creature and reaped the benefits of an eternal creature. If he could have stayed in the presence of the eternal light of God, the Shekinah, he would have lived on eternally. He could never have died. But not being born of the eternal nature, not being born of the Shekinah, like Jesus was, then he could be enticed from a distance and led away, led astray, enticed and led off. And then the way that that would be done is a seducing devil, a spirit, working through a beautiful woman, his wife, the most beautiful woman who was ever created at that time, because she's in the presence of Shekinah, enticed Adam. The devil enticed her, because the devil, being in the presence of the garden, also had access to this great radiance of God. Healthy, strong, robust, beautiful. And working through the weaker species, subdued the nearest thing to it, which was the next weaker species. That is like working himself up live from a tadpole on up through a revolving thing and get way up here, and then that's life. I've said this a lot of times. That was life. If he got in a bullfrog, that was life. But that's the lowest form of life according to science. But working himself up till he could get into a woman. And the woman was the next thing to perfect life as far as in this world. Only the male has access to the perfect life. The woman does not have access to the heavenly life. She has access to the earthly life. But only through her husband does she have access to the heavenly life. And that's a true fact. Now, if you're not married, then it's through your dad. Or if your dad is a drunkard, or if you're not married, then the woman can turn to God. He said, I'll be a husband to the widow. And you still have your life through the husband. That's the only way it can come. Now, he's got a remedy for those things. But listen, you have access to the heavenly life just as I do, through the body of my husband, Jesus Christ. As the bride of Christ, I have no way to get to life. There's nothing that I can do. Fasting, praying, nothing I can do. There's one answer, that's faith in what he said. Your faith in what God's word says, and God's word is written in the behalf of the male. You got it? The word says, wives, obey your husbands in all things. Faith in that scripture saves your soul. God wrote it like that. Why did he do that? Because the Bible said that man is made for God, but woman is made for man. God did not make woman for God. Come on now. That's why the woman was deceived. The Bible said she was in the transgression, because she was taken out of man, and it was man's property that was fallen. It wasn't God's property. God never lost his property, because the Bible said that the man was not in the transgression. It had to be that way because the male was a type of Jesus Christ, and if Adam had been in the transgression, it would have showed Jesus was in the transgression. But the Adam, out among the thieves of the world, out among the briars, the thorns, the thistles, showing Jesus coming down here, being made like man for the sake of his wife, to take care of his wife until the day of the payday, which was the redemption, the restoration. You follow me? All right. Now, here's Adam and Eve, Christ in the church, in the Shekinah. Here's Adam and Eve, fallen from the garden, Jesus and the church. You follow me? Now, when you say Jesus and the church, you've taken it away from the stages of Christ and the church, because really, Christ and the church is the real Jesus in the church. I know you ain't going to get there, but just listen for a few minutes. So the next stages of it, where Jesus came into the world to be a type, the next stages of it is Satan and his wife. A bad woman, the world, that's Satan's wife. A bad man, Satan, that's her husband. A good man, Jesus. A good woman, heaven. That's the bride of Christ. You follow me? Heavenly Jerusalem, sir, the mother of us all. I know you think I'm talking wild and have to go through a lot to explain what I'm saying. If I didn't have to explain that, I could go on. But some of your mind's questions run through it. You have to break it down and explain it because you don't believe it until I explain it. Heavenly Jerusalem, Sarah, the mother of Saul. Is that right? Abraham's other wife, Hagar, old Jerusalem, earthly. Is that right? The things of the world, tradition of the world. So you have to explain it. All right, now, here is the identity. Now, here I stand up here, I'm talking to you. This is only a mouthpiece for God. Somebody said, John, who are you? John said, I'll have to be honest. I couldn't be nothing but a voice. That's all it could be because life is of God. It's just life coming forth through a vocal utterance. It's an oral expression to you. It's a word. And I speak to you because I'm a man. I'm a carrier of life. Like a woman is a carrier of a child. The bloodstream is a carrier of the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. I speak to you as a man. My words come to your listening ear, and you hear it as a man. But that word is a carrier of life. And that life is the revelation. For when you say, teach me in doctrine, you're saying, teach them the natural word of the Bible, like be baptized in Jesus' name. But when you say, speak to them either by doctrine or revelation, you're saying, take the doctrine, the word, change it into spirit, and make it revelation. You understand? Everybody will hear the doctrine, but only the bride of Christ or the elect will get the revelation. Jesus said, my words are spirit. Faith in your heart takes my words. And yet it's not me that speak, but the Heavenly Father, the Spirit, using my vocal sounds, making it His word, His mind working. Not my brain, but His mind working from the heart. For the mind is in the heart. The brain's in the head, but the mind's in the heart. For the mind is a spirit, either Satan's spirit, man's spirit, or God's spirit. You know how we taught the three minds. Now, when this mind is stirred up, called the pure mind, the mind of Christ, my spirit is swallowed up in it. The reason for this is I spent many long hours with God, day after day, many long hours. It wasn't anything that I'd done to merit it. But I spent many days, weeks, months, years breaking my resistance down, breaking my spirit down. The Bible said of a contrite spirit, a broken heart, to break it down to where it wouldn't be hard, to where it would be mellow, to get to the place that no matter what anybody done to me, that I wouldn't let my spirit be disturbed on the inside. I might get a little ruffle on the outside, but never let it touch that in there. That in there might be like holy waters. You know, and when I start talking, that it just switch over like that. It's translate on the inside that the mind of God can talk, the Spirit of God. Now, if you eat, you have trouble. If you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, you're going to get into revelation. If you eat, you'll have trouble. The best thing is not to eat. Because if you don't eat, then the outer man, the Bible said you're no better to God if you don't eat. It don't make you no more holier because you're holy by the blood of Jesus. It don't make you no closer to God. That don't merit you anything. But it takes away the natural resistance of your body, which is the physical energy. And it lets the holy dove-like energy overflow, as David said, my cup overflows, and it goes out into the fibers of your body, and there's no energy to resist it, and the fibers of the body is illuminated, which is the brain cells, and all of a sudden it's God talking. It's thus saith the Lord coming to you, because it's not you that speak, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. Are you listening? Do you understand what I'm saying? A blood seed, the male blood seed, to the vagina of the wife. It is a carrier. The blood is a carrier. Now, it's got life on the inside of it. My words, I'm a blood man. I'm a carrier of the Spirit, like Israel. Israel was under the blood. Why was they under the blood? Because they were the seed of God in the earth. And the blood seed is a blood pulp, is what it is. It's blood. It's made up of the blood cells of your white corpuscles and your red corpuscles. And it makes up the blood with plasma mixed in. Like if you cut your hand, the thing that seals it back together, God's got plasma in there. And it oozes out and it webs over and it seals it. It's a seal, because the plasma is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the white and red corpuscles also run a type of the spiritual things that are at war with each other when you have leukemia, like one eats up the other. But the plasma is a type of the seal, the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. Are you following me what I'm saying? A blood pup is a carrier. There must be blood, there must be water, there must be spirit at a birth. Just like when Jesus hung at Calvary. All have three definite, different, distinctive places of abode. When they come together, they form a human being. Now, there's a lot of things I could say this morning about sciences if we just had time to go into them. But if I go into them, I'll lead you off on another trail, and then you get distorted, and I can't get back to what I'm trying to explain to you, and then it distorts your understanding. Now, I just have to give just a little bit as long as I'm able to give it to you. Jesus said many things to say unto you if you wasn't dull of hearing, if you could hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, you hear me because I'm hollering to you over a microphone, but I'm talking about what the Spirit is saying, the understanding. See, he opens your understanding. That's the Spirit speaking to you. When your understanding starts coming open, that's the Spirit speaking to you. See, he's opening your understanding. He's opening your understanding. That's the Spirit speaking to you. Solomon said, with wisdom, I'm speaking wisdom to you. With wisdom, get understanding, because understanding is God opening your heart. The Spirit speaking to the church. Let him that hath an ear, what kind of ear? Jesus said, having ears you don't hear. That is, you don't have a God ear. Having eyes you don't see, that is, you don't have your eyes of understanding open, which is the God way. The Holy Spirit, Paul said, enlightening your understanding, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even the wisdom of God that's in heavenly places, the Bible said. What good is that wisdom? It made the diamonds, it made the pearls, it made the stars, it made the ocean, it makes a human being. It resurrects the dead, it makes you live eternally, it does away with cancer. That wisdom, that mind of God, that Spirit. When I speak the word, that's doctrine. When I speak revelation, when I speak the word, that's doctrine, that's a preacher preaching to you. When I speak revelation, that's not the preacher, that's not a doctrine, that's God, the eternal Spirit, from within his temple, turning the doctrine into spirit, and that's God speaking to you. I either speak to you by doctrine or by revelation. Now the seed falls in the ground. Paul said it falls in the ground, but it's got to break. The crust has got to break. You got to break the word crust. You got to get the life out of it before it can produce. It rots. It falls into the ground. It looks like the church is rotten. It looked like it's just been laying there all these years, fell into the ground, just laying there. And it looks like there ain't nothing to it. But if you watch, it's just now coming to the place to where it can start reproducing. It's just now getting to the place to where the crust is broke off, which is the old outer man, the shell. Got to get away with the outer man. Gideon said, stand in your place. Stand just right. And said at the right time, said, when I speak, with a great power of coronation, said every man break the clay pitcher. And the Bible said when they broke the clay pitcher, the whole valley was filled with light. And that's what confounded the enemy. They were creatures of night. If you can break this old clay pitcher, get a coronation, stand in your place, get the voice of God. And when the voice of God comes, like it said, like somebody preached here one night, it didn't just say the voice of the Lord, of the sword of the Lord. It said the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. It's got to be of the ministry and of God, because the mouth is what speaks the doctrine. It's got to be God's sword and the man's sword running in harmony. And if the man's sword can get in the right place, it becomes a king's sword. Like the voice that spoke to Brother Branham said, not a sword, but Brother Branham's mind had done translated over into God's mind. And he said, it's no longer your mind. Said, it's the God mind that's speaking through you. Now, every one of you have the God mind. Every one of you have the mind of Jesus Christ. But the thing is, you're not given to it. You're not surrendered to it. It can't speak through you like it would like to. The God mind go to speaking and you get... The devil probes you on this side and gives you some idea that sounds real good and you want to get that out. And by the time you try to get that over to the people, the anointing's done gone. You done crowded it out. But if you just follow the trail of the anointing, everything would have been all right. And you'd have got that out too later if it was of any value. Are you listening? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to hold you a long time. Just hold on for a few minutes. There's a few more things I'd like to explain if I could. The other day, I taught that Lucifer was shown by Adam. You see why that I taught that, being a type like he is? Now, I know some of you wouldn't understand that, but some of you maybe do. There's a tape here where I explain some of it. I never did really get to explain it like I wanted to. Like the other night, I said something there. I never did get to finish it. I wanted to explain it. All right, now listen. If Adam, I'm talking about the redemption of the body now, if Adam lost his identity in the garden, then the tabernacle that Peter referred to as being eternal in the heavens, and heavens means spirit, if that tabernacle was our original image, if God originally made man in his own image and wanted him to live eternally, then God somewhere, and that is by the body of Jesus Christ, he's done it, has preserved the heavenly image. How did he do it? By the body of Jesus Christ, perfected it, and what Adam did not do, Jesus did do. Adam did not go on with God, but Jesus did go on with God. And God has took that tabernacle eternally in the heavens. Eternally means it will never perish. He set it at his right hand. Revelation 19, he comes back on a white horse. And we who are dead in our body, baptized for the dead into the body of Jesus Christ by baptism, our old image is gone. We're dead to the world. We don't go frolicking and skiing and skating and out in the world. If you do that, you're not dead. But we're dead with Jesus. The Bible said they are baptized for the dead. We've lost our identity. We're dead. At death, the spirit, the inner man, goeth back to God who gave it. If you're dead, your spirit has departed from your body. And your body is buried in the water, wherever they buried you. I don't know where your grave is, but they buried you. Somewhere they buried you. Because one day they buried me. Maybe you ought to go back and find your grave and see if you're still down there. I don't know. But anyway, I know that they buried me in the name of Jesus. And I'm out there in that grave, wherever that was. I lost my identity as the beast, Adam's descendants. I'm no more of that bloodline that had Satan in it. For at the cross, Jesus lifted up himself, the brazen serpent, that every one that was bitten by the evil spirits of the serpents would be swallowed up in what we refer to today as the king snake, the non-poisonous snake that defeats all the other snakes. He's a heifer to you. A type of the brazen serpent. Jesus, the image of God, eternally preserved. We don't know what we look like. But when the tabernacle, the body of Jesus, returns, we know that we'll be like him, for then we shall see him as he is. Is that right? He is our body. He is the tabernacle eternal in the heavens. That is the redemption of the body. How can we get the redemption of the body? To come into the same mind that body of Jesus had as it walked the earth. If the mind was in Jesus, that saved his soul, pleased God, made him perfect, if that mind changed that body, made it an eternal body, for according to the Bible, he literally picked up out of the grave his own fleshly body. He said, I'm not a spirit, but I'm flesh and bones, and a spirit don't have flesh like you see me with here. Are you listening to me now? When he ate the fish, disappeared out of the mist on the way to Emmaus. Now, the image, if I can have the same mind, and the Bible said, let this mind, you've got to let it, you've got to surrender to it. You inherit the kingdom of God. You don't go into it. It's an inheritance. You receive it. Your spirit inherits it. It comes into you by a word of spirit. The word is the God word of the kingdom of eternal life. That's what it is. It's a revelation, a knowledge. The whole world will be indoctrinated by the ministry to repentance and to conviction, to condemnation, but it's only given to you to know the revelation, which is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You're drawn in close. Joseph shuts the world out. He makes known to his wife, to his own brethren, the mysteries of the Bible. Jesus said it's not given to the world. It would translate them. So then, what I'm saying is, if this mind is in you, if this mind is in you, look at Brother Branham. He was a man just like I'm a man. But look at the mind that was on the inside of him. The mind that could take him up into heavenly places. The mind that could move him out into another world. He'd look at his audience and he'd say, I wish my lovely audience could be in this dimension that I'm in and see the things that I'm seeing. From dimension to dimension, he moved on. A great power of translation. That's the way Enoch was. Enoch got into that mind. He walked in that mind. And that same mind that transfigured Jesus' body. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you got to die. Jesus died. Jesus transfigured the body, appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah, showed the redemption of the body by the use of the mind before he ever died. He did not die for the purpose of the redemption of the body. He died for the atonement of sin that you might have right to the redemption through the mind. Now how can you get it? A mind is a spirit. A spirit is alive. A mind, alive. A spirit, the male spirit in the woman, the male spirit in the child. Satan's spirit was in Adam's generation. That was a mind, the tree of knowledge, that caused the image, the outer body, to conform to it. But now the redemption is here. The mind of Christ, the tree of life, the word of spirit and life, that's the tree of life. The word, the mind. If I can get this mind in you, God gets this mind in me. Then through this mind is my inner spirit surrenders to that spirit, which is a mind. After a while, Paul said, my mind, I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. My spirit has thought on his spirit. I've refused to think my own thoughts, refused to lean to my own understanding. I've been commanded to bring every thought into subjection to Jesus. After a while, it's not me thinking, it's him thinking. It's not me living, it's him living. Paul, not I live, but Christ live. The life I live by the Son of God on the inside. It's him living, him thinking, him talking, him walking. I went through the change. I went through the change. Are you following me? I went through the change from glory to glory. As the revelation come, in part, a little knowledge from glory to glory by the transformation of my mind. Instantaneous translation by new birth, faith in what Jesus did. That's my spirit into the kingdom of God. My transformation by part is I hear the ministry of the voice of the Spirit speaking to me. Till I come into the complete mind of Jesus Christ, that's the progress through the wilderness, the slow part. God given us just as much as we can stand because he's got it veiled. And if he moves the veil, no man can look on God and live. It'll drive you crazy, it'll kill you. But little at a time, you get it. Just like you can take the venom of a snake, you can get it little at a time. Know the man that took it and got immune to a cobra bite. A little at a time until finally he transformated into a place to where he was immune to a cobra bite. Even a cobra couldn't kill him. A cobra bit him, a king cobra. He still couldn't kill him. See, God injecting to us by part the Holy Spirit, and we're gradually transforming in our minds, which will result in an instantaneous transfiguration of the body when we completely conquer death, and we've conquered death when we get the entire or complete mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be unto you. It's coming in part. The Son of God said, He spoke there at the River Jordan. He said, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That's a King James rendering. But in the original, it says, This is my Son in whom I am contented, or in whom I am pleased to dwell in. He dwells in us. He walks in us. He talks in us. He said that you are my temple. But you are given the Spirit by measure. Whatever measure you can stand, whatever measure you can receive. If you can receive it, receive it. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We haven't got time to go into that, what the results of it is. But if you can receive it, the measure of the Spirit for God hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith, and the faith is Jesus Christ's faith, and that faith, whatever the measure is, brings that much of the Jesus Christ mind, and that Jesus Christ mind is Word, Spirit, and life. Power. You follow me? That's what you got. Whatever measure you got of the Word, that Spirit, that's a mind that's alive. According to that mind, that's how much your faith will work. According to the measure. According to the strength. When you say measure, you say strength. Like one man's stronger than another man, one man's weaker. That means a measure. That means you're stronger. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. He didn't waver. He was strong. Said, God said it. That settled it. That's where it's going to be. Now, Sarah said, well, I don't know about it. We're old. It ain't got nothing to do with it. God said it, I believe it. If the Word of God spoke it, the Word of God's created, He said it, I believe it, that settles it. All the promises of God, yea and amen. Now when you think like that, you feel something run up and down your spine. If you really, I don't mean think up here in your head, but you get to chuckling down in here and say, oh God, that's true. And you'll feel kind of, you know, kind of woozy like down there, and all of a sudden a little chuckle will come out, and you'll feel something run up and down your spine. And something will say, hallelujah, that is true. See, that's God speaking to you. I'm going to close now. Just hold on now. Fix the clothes. All right, now, if the image is lost, if it's gone, if it's eternally preserved in the heavens, then we don't know what we look like. Now, if we are in the image of God already, we know what we look like. But if we are bearing the image of the earthly, which is the beast, the fallen part, then we don't know what we look like, or, you know, he looks like. But now, when He comes, we'll know what He looks like. For we'll see Him just as Adam saw Him. We'll see Him in the garden. We'll see Him in the heavenly form. He'll come back to us. But remember, this time, we are born to the Shekinah. The Shekinah is on the inside. We're born of it. We're part of it. It's a nature. God said concerning the beast, concerning Satan, concerning them that would let Satan's spirit, the worldly spirit, live in them. He said, in the morning, that's at the resurrection, when I take you out of the graves. He said, in the morning, I will despise your image. Because your image is conformed to the nature of Satan. But if you're my children, if you're a reproduction from my seed, God said, then you'll conform to my image, He said. And so then, you must conform to my way, God said. You follow me? Now listen, here's a good one if you can get it. If you conform to the Word, that makes you masculine. Listen now, if you want to be a son of God, that makes you masculine. But notice, a woman, a girl will almost without fail conform to the mother's image. Now you watch it and see. The boy may reflect some of the characteristics of his mother, but most of the time the male will look like his father. Sometimes they give away, if they're kind of feminine, on the educated side, kind of worldly, they'll give away. But now, if it's a real masculine thing, the babe has such a masculine resistance that even at birth it overcomes the woman's spirit and remains masculine. Are you listening? Now, God is not against you conforming to your mother, because You know, girls, they're supposed to be pretty. The man's supposed to be strong. The woman's supposed to be pretty. Now, I mean, that's the way they got it figured. But now listen. I'm speaking the way the world speaks it. You can conform to your mother. Are you listening? The mother is the church. That's not too bad a conformity. Because the Bible says heavenly Jerusalem, mother of us all. A lot of us like to look like that, wouldn't we? Like heavenly Jerusalem. A bride adorned for a husband. But you can conform to the church. If you do, then you're taking after your mother. You're getting on the feminine side. But if you conform just exactly to the Word, you're getting on the masculine side. You become a seed giver, a reproducer. You follow me? Now, I'm not saying this to discourage the feminine side of it. That's wrong. It's a beautiful, most gracious, wonderful thing. Because the man can give the seed, but he can't reproduce life. It's got to be the woman. So the woman can reproduce the life, but she can't give seed. So the man's not without the woman, the woman's not without the man. So then you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that a woman and a man is one and that they are a man. It's just the feminine side of the man. All of it's glorious. But I'm trying to explain some things to you. That's all I'm saying. I better stop. The further I go, the deeper it gets and the more confused some of you are getting. And I better stop. There's so many more things I'd like to say. Let's just stand up, will you?